Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Your official station to talk Yankees. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today.
Ah! 105, McMonagle here with you on The Fan. I got you for 2 hours. Al Cintron will come your way at 3. Your heartache. It was heartache today. It was heartache, man. I know, you know, Jet fans will get to you. I mean, I don't even, you know, the Bills are better, and for a while there it was close. But just, I mean, it was a bad performance from the Jets, bad performance from Aaron Rodgers. And we recognize what's going on with him and Garrett Wilson and the future of the team. And maybe it is, I don't know. Who knows what's going on? Maybe it is best to just move on from him. I don't know. I still think he should be back. I still think him and Garrett Wilson could figure it out. But watching it as a Giant fan, watching that game yesterday, there's nothing worse. Because this was the first time they really tested me. Like, I've known it's what's best for them for a long time. I've wanted them to lose a lot more games than just yesterday. And there were scary moments against Atlanta early on. They scored that first touchdown. The Saints, they're going to kick a field goal. But even that wasn't as close as, like, you know, the last, second to last game of the year. And then they're playing well, and Neighbors is making plays, and the offense is working, and they're getting turnovers, and they get a kickoff return for a touchdown, and I can't be happy about it. Like, that's the low point of fandom, man. It's the low point of fandom. And I honestly don't believe it's a choice. I don't think, like, I don't view it as such. Because to me, there's one point of being a fan. It's wanting what's best for the team. That's all I want. I want what's best for the team. And I honestly don't know if anyone can make a strong enough case for me that winning that game was what was best for the team. It's a very difficult thing to try and convince me of. So I'm sitting there on my couch, and I'm, like, confusing my son because he's like, Why are you upset? I'm like, what are you? It's hard to understand, buddy. I know. I wish I just had the heart and mind of a child and just could be like, hey, let me turn on the game and watch the Giants play well, and I'll put all my other troubles aside. I'm, I'm not a coal miner from the 1800s who's just looking for an escape. I want my team to win. I can't just turn the game on Sunday and just be like, whatever happens is great. Just give me a diversion from life for an hour and a half. And I know we talk about, like, that's what it can be for many people sometimes. But no, I want to win. And I want what's best for the team. And I'm tired of watching this slop that we've watched for the last 8 years, let alone the last 8 weeks. And they were dragging me along, and I got excited about the idea of the top pick. And then we get this. It's all very difficult day. Because of what it does to you personally, it's a very difficult day. Let's get back to the calls. Ray in Brooklyn, what's up, Ray?
T-Mac, thanks for taking the call. Listen, I am going to try to civilly disagree with you on Brian Daboll. I can't believe that you actually found a lane. I'm going to use our, the Yankees term.
Sure.
A lane to compliment this buffoon, this idiot, him, and it's crazy because you went and made one of the points that I was going to make against keeping him, which is why the hell didn't these buffoons find a way not to let Neighbors play, you know, do what the Mets do and other baseball teams do with fake IL people, because you can do that also. So that's total mismanagement, aside from the fact that they suck at their jobs, and over the last 8 years has never been worse than it is now, because they had never lost as many straight home games. They had never won this many games without scoring a touchdown at home. That's on Daboll also. So, like, I just don't understand how, the same way that, you know, you're sick of hearing Sean O'Hara, I can't hear anybody, but, you know, find a way or reason to compliment this idiot. It's going to drive me nuts. And the other thing is that the team doesn't play hard for him. They play hard not to get hurt, and they play hard for video tape so that they can get paid. If they were playing hard for him, if they wanted, he lost them weeks ago, love you. You're my Yankees guy. But you know there's no way in hell we should reward this idiot just for the sake of stability. Him and Joe Shane, listen, I'll pack their bags and I'll take them to the nearest airport. Like, we cannot tolerate this as Giants fans anymore. I just can't take it. There's no reason other than stability. And who cares? Because this is not stability. It's the definition of instability because we don't know what the hell we're getting week by week.
Oh, no, we know we get pretty much crappy football. I think we get crappy quarterback play. I mean, that's the main thing. I mean, that's why I don't think he's been given much of a chance to be successful, quite honestly. That's why. I don't think you heard the, can you, Rami, can you find those cuts again that I asked you for? The Brian Daboll talking about the quarterback position? Because I think this is a direct message to maybe the fans and certainly ownership about how he perceives his chances that he's been given to be successful with this team.
He played well today, but other people played well about it. I had him break him down, and that's the first thing he said. You know, I said, hey, great game. But he said, hey, there's, you know, 10 guys around me on offense and 11 on defense.
Oh, yeah. See if he has the opening one where he says, you know, when you get great quarterback play. It was like the first statement he had today. But, yeah, so, I mean, I'll see if he can find it. But you got it? All right.
A lot of guys played well. That's how the offense needs to perform. That's how the quarterback needs to perform. So, when you do that, you win the turnover ratio, you have a chance to score points and win.
Yeah. And it was quite literally the first thing he said in the press conference was, well, we got good quarterback play. Like, he was telling owner, he was telling John Mara, I haven't been given good quarterbacks to play. And let's be honest, the best quarterback on the roster this year was Daniel Jones. As amazing as that is, he was still the best they had. And they decided, rightfully so, because of his contract next year, to cut bait with him midseason. The Giants would have won some football games probably with Daniel Jones. But, I mean, they might have won some football games if they kept Daniel Jones. They decided that wasn't as important as making sure he wasn't on the team next year. And I agreed with them. I still do. It was the right thing to do. But when you say, like, I can't go nuts about, like, not winning at home, like, you want, oh, it's never been worse than not winning at home. They cut bait with their best quarterback. Like, oh, this hasn't happened since 1972. Yeah, because you never, it's very rare that you just say, hey, this quarterback can't be here. They decided next year was more important than this year, and they were right because the season was already over. So that's why I didn't get mad with all the losses. I didn't continue to get upset. I became indifferent because I knew they weren't really trying to win. They got rid of their best quarterback. No team that's trying to win this year gets rid of their best quarterback. They did it because next year was more important. And they're right. So that's why I can't get hung up on, oh, it's never been worse. They lost 10 straight games. They lost 9. They lost 8 straight home games. It's never been worse. Look at how bad it's been. They took their best player at the most important position and told him, go play for Minnesota. Did you expect winning after that? That's why I said it's hard to judge Daboll the rest of the year. How do you judge Daboll the rest of the year when they sent away their best player at the most important position? Now, he wasn't very good. I'm not trying to tell you Daniel Jones was a great player. He's just better than Drew Locke and Tommy DeVito. That's all. And Tim Boyle. He was their best player at that position. That's part of the problem. And they were losing with him, don't get me wrong, but they probably would have won. They would have won that Saints game or something. Something would have broke right for them over the course of these weeks, and they probably wouldn't have the top pick in the draft. And that's why it was better to send him away. But not that Brian Daboll deserves anything other than, and it's not just stability, it's somewhat stability. It's also, I do believe he got the best out of Daniel Jones. I do believe he got something out of Drew Locke yesterday. I do believe he got something out of Tommy DeVito last year. And I do believe, whether you want to or not, that he had a very large role in developing of what possibly is going to be the MVP this year. Obviously, he's a great player. No one's saying he's the reason that Josh Allen's Josh Allen, but he had a lot to do with developing a project quarterback in Josh Allen. So, like, that's why I want him here, because I wanted him paired with the young quarterback. But I agree. Ray's point about missing on Penix and missing on... Now, Penix has played two games, and he wasn't all that good against the Giants. He just looked like he wasn't in over his head. And then in this game, he made some big-time throws. He took them down the field and threw a touchdown pass to tie a game with under 2 minutes left. I mean, he played really well in this game last night. So now I'm looking at Brian Daboll and I'm trying, and Joe Shane, and I'm saying to myself, well, they knew Jaden Daniels was the guy. They tried to trade up for him or May, and I think both of them were very good. And I'm trying to tell myself they recognize quarterback talent. Well, there's no doubt they missed on Nix, because he's playing his ass off. Even in a losing effort, he was great. And now it looks like they probably missed on Penix. And who knows about J.J. McCarthy? And that's when you start getting into other options. Like, if Sam Darnold, who this team clearly loves, I don't know if you saw the celebration, he walks into that locker room, they're pouring beer and champagne all over him for beating Green Bay. It's not even a playoff game. Like, that team is really rallied around Sam. He's played unbelievably well. So maybe J.J. McCarthy is available. I can't trade a top-level pick for him. I'm not giving them the fourth or fifth pick. Like, I don't know what they would want for him, but this is what we're going to talk about. Could they trade for J.J. McCarthy? Could they trade up to the top pick with the Patriots? Can they figure out a way to do this? Can they figure out a way to do that? This is what we're going to talk about, because it doesn't matter. No one's going to... Well, are we going to talk this week? This is how you know. This is how you know the win is meaningless. You know how you know the win is meaningless? Because the entire conversation, and not just by me who's hung up on it, but by anyone, is going to be about, well, what do they do with the quarterback position? What do they do with the draft? How is that? No one is going to talk about next week against Philadelphia. No one. No, how do you figure out a way to beat Philly? No one's going to say that. You know why? Because it doesn't freaking matter. Just like this week didn't matter. DJ in East Brunswick. What's up, DJ?
What's going on, C-Mac? Hey, man, I'm a huge fan. I just want to let you know before I get to my point, I'm a huge Cowboy fan.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I hate to see you go through this, but your colleague, Sean Moresh, I'd love to see him go through this. Now, before I get to my point,
yeah,
I just want to educate, not you, you're a huge Giant fan. I already know you know the education behind the Giants. But for that last call, that call that was irate.
Yes.
The Giants were the founders of the scouting system. They were the best scouting system that ever came out, and everybody adopted their system. You guys won 2007, 2011.
Mm-hmm.
2014 is where I seen that scouting system go down the tubes. You made the playoffs in 2017. You made the playoffs in 2021. You guys have squandered 5 offensive line picks and every other pick besides this year that you guys had. In my opinion.
I wouldn't say you squandered Andrew Thomas. I wouldn't say you've squandered Dexter Lawrence.
I would say offensive linemen.
Yeah, well, Andrew Thomas, he's just hurt, but he's a legitimate left tackle.
1 out of 5?
You said all. I'm just trying to tell you that there's 1 out of 5. Right. I'm just trying to be that fifth dentist. Right. Trying to be that fifth dentist who doesn't like, you know, Colgate or whatever. You said all 5, and I said, well, at least 1 was a hit.
No, absolutely. Now, for my final point is, if they would have lost, I like Daboll. I like his offensive mind. If they would have lost every game and had the the first pick or the second pick, then you give him a year or two. All right, you guys are fighting for your job. You want to win that bet? You got to go. Because now you're moving to fourth. Now, what is there? Like you said, all right, are we going to move back? Are we going to move forward? It's not worth it.
I don't know. Thank you for the call, DJ. Here's the thing I'll say about Daboll. And as far as, like, keeping him, not keeping him, in one way, I suppose I don't get hung up on what happens here at the end of the season. I don't look at this and go, ooh, look at how Daboll. Like, I do think Ray was like, oh, they didn't play for him. You know, they paid for money. And, well, then no team would ever collapse ever. Like, if it was just about money, then no, and it was just about playing for their Madden ranking and just about putting good film on for another organization, which I do think there's always a part of. But if that were the case, then no team would ever just give up or collapse ever, and we know that happens. The New York Giants went out there and played a good football game. The coach deserves a modicum of, I don't think I used that word right, a skosh of credit for keeping the team together. I think because people were suggesting he hadn't after games like Tampa Bay and after games like the end of the Atlanta game last week. Like there was a lot of people who were saying he's lost the team. He didn't. He didn't lose the team. They're still playing for him. Not that that's anything great, and I certainly don't look at this win and go, see, look, he could coach. I don't. I was done. When they said goodbye to Daniel Jones, I was done making a decision on Brian Daboll. It was either I'm going to keep him and draft a young quarterback, or I'll move on from him. And that's like the thing. Like, okay, so this is a good win, fine, blah, blah, if you can say that. He coached well. They're still playing for him. He got four touchdowns out of Drew Lock. Blah, 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 blah. If they're not going to get a young quarterback, then I really have a hard time justifying keeping him. Like, that's just the bottom line. Like, at least for me, all right, my whole point is I want him with his young quarterback. He was never given that. If there's going to be another year of Brian Daboll not developing a young quarterback, then what is he here for? Because he hasn't shown me anything else. He hasn't shown me anything else. The whole thing is he's never been given that guy. He said again, you said you found another one that sounds like the one I'm looking for. This was him in the postgame today talking about quarterback play.
Did you have any inkling that you could have a big day offensively? You know, it just hasn't been there. That, you know,
well, I think if you get good quarterback play,
boom.
You know, you have an opportunity in every game, and you don't.
If you get good, did you see the offense coming? If you get good quarterback play, I could see it coming. That's literally him telling you, my offense would work. I don't have good quarterbacks. I haven't gotten good quarterback play at all this year. That's what he's trying to tell you. You cannot believe it or not. You could tell he's, you know, you call him a snake oil salesman, whatever. Like, you could say it's not legit and it's bull crap and I don't care. You're gone. You can't go 3-15 or whatever. Okay, 3-14. Okay, whatever. But The whole point is he's never been given his young quarterback to develop and rebuild with, which was what this was supposed to be. This was supposed to be a rebuild after an awful Gettleman regime. The team was in cap hell. There wasn't a lot of talent. This was sold to us as a fan base that this was going to be a rebuild. And then they won, and the rebuild got put on hold. So for me, I'm open to keeping them and giving them that chance of a rebuild that they actually outperformed to go along with. Like, they performed so well year one that the rebuild never took place. So I'm open and willing to give them that rebuild starting now. I'll give them a mulligan. And part of it is because I'm tired of hiring and firing new GMs and coaches. And I don't trust John Mara to do it properly or hire the right people. And so I'm open to, hey, the last 3 years, we'll call it a mulligan. You were given a terrible quarterback. You felt like you had to pay him. I understand why. I loved him as an owner, and I kind of forced them on you, and then you won, and you gave him a 2-year contract that you were able to get out from under. Let's just forget the last 3 years happened. Let's draft a young quarterback, and let's go about rebuilding this franchise. Like, I'm kind of open to that, as crazy as that sounds. But if they're not drafting the young quarterback, well, what the hell do I need Brian Daboll for? I mean, he just told you they need good quarterback play. Where are you getting it from? Who are you going to go sign? I don't know, man. And I guess that's part of it, too, because there was a plan, you know? Like Heath Ledger as the Joker says in Batman, like, as long as it's all part of the plan, nobody gets all worried. It's part of the plan. I had bought into the plan. The plan was losing out and drafting one of these two quarterbacks. That was it. It was the plan. It was simple. Right? I'm watching the two games on Saturday. I'm watching, you know, Cam Ward play really well in the first half. Then I'm seeing Shedeur Sanders and his Giants cleats before the game. Like, that was all part of the plan. The Giants were going to lose out. They were probably going to keep Shane and Daboll. They're going to draft a young quarterback and start this rebuild, and I don't have to worry about tanking next year or even the year after that. It's just about trying to win and develop a young quarterback and hope he's the guy, because that changes your franchise. That was the plan. And I went through all this. I was Andy Dufresne crawling through a pipe full of crap. And I was supposed to come out clean on the other side. And instead, how do I get the quarterback? That's what the Giant fans were. We were Andy Dufresne crawling through a river of crap all year long. And now it feels like we did it all just to end back in the cell. Just frustrating, man. 888-808-1019. Quick break. Come back with more of your calls right here on The Fan.
Talk about your Giants on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
All right. Mick Monaco here with you. 1:30. Man, the voice is still rough. I don't know, anybody else like have a cough and a head cold for like 2 weeks straight?
Yes.
My goodness. And the kids too, like everyone I know has had either themselves or someone in their family or their children like be sick for multiple days over the last 2 weeks. It's unbelievable. I don't know what's going on.
And it's more of an annoyance than anything.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I'm really, right, really sick. Ill. It's just, right, yeah, exactly. No, I'm fine. I'm here. But it's like, yeah, I don't have a fever. I couldn't get out of bed or anything. It's just I'm sneezing. I'm coughing a little bit. The voice, I'm feeling it now that I'm singing and screaming. Ugh, miserable. Not many, a couple of good games. Obviously, Washington and Atlanta last night was a good game. We saw the Packers and Vikings. That was about it.
And that wasn't really good. It was good at the end.
Yeah, I know. They made it close. But, yeah, the Vikings. Listen, the Vikings are better than I thought they were. And that passing attack is legit. That offense is legit. The defense gets after it. They disguise their blitz as well. They are a legitimate team, and next week's going to be fun. We'll see what happens tonight, obviously, with the 49ers and the Lions. But assuming the Lions win, because the 49ers just aren't themselves, that's going to be some game next week for the division and the one seed, Washington and Detroit. But we focus mainly on the Giants, who now are picking fourth in the draft. They are in front of Tennessee and New England and Cleveland. And I wouldn't expect any. Cleveland was just awful. They're going to be, they're lined up to be 17.5 point dogs against Baltimore. Let's see. Tennessee Titans are 4.5 favorites over the Texans because the Texans have nothing to play for. And where is the other team? Who am I missing? Oh, New England. New England, I believe, is playing Buffalo. And right now they're only 1.5 dog. I would think you still have to move up. The Giants have spent enough time. They were in Miami for the, I think I saw Shane at the game, the Pop-Tart Bowl with Miami. I believe they spent a ton of time at Colorado. They have invested, a lot of work into these two quarterbacks. I would be shocked if they don't try something. You saw last year they were willing to try and move up. You got to try and move up and get the quarterback. You just have to. At this point, you just have to. Let's go to Anthony in Arizona. What's up, Anthony?
Not much, Chris. How are you?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm not great. No. It's some kind of vicious nightmare to be the only offensive outburst your team has in recent memory, and it makes you sick.
It's just, if you think about it, honestly, to your point, not just the biggest outburst they've had offensively in a long time, and you're sick about it. The other The other big win they've had in recent years is the playoff win, and it, in many ways, that feels like it set the franchise back. Like you can't
1,000%.
Even you can't even enjoy some of the victories this team has. It's unbelievable.
No, you're.
I mean, in the
right.
Yeah, to Rami's point, in the moment we all enjoyed the playoff win, but now looking back on it,
yes,
we can't.
Yes, yes, no, yeah, definitely. But so you've really been touching on my main point all night with. Or the last little bit, anyway. Talking about Brian Daboll needing the quarterback to keep his job.
Yeah.
With this win, he kind of puts himself out of the quarterback sweepstakes, because if they stay at four, it's going to be very hard for them to get into that top three outside of Hunter, Ward, and Sanders. I think there's a drop-off.
Yeah.
And that's going to be – it's going to cost them a lot. So if he's just there to for another season of hell – to hear, well, next year, if we get Daboll with his quarterback, that's like living the same nightmare.
Agreed.
Of Daniel Jones with, oh, if he only has an offensive line, and that 6 years, I can't do that again.
No, I'm totally with you. They have to draft a quarterback, or they have to get their guy. Like that's just the plain truth of it. However they do it, whether it's trading for someone else, whether it's,
right,
you know, trading for J.J. McCarthy. Now, I don't know what I would give for J.J. If J.J. McCarthy becomes available as someone who has now had two knee surgeries this season, has sat a year underneath Sam Darnold and an offensive head coach who's very smart. Why Daniel Jones went there to get involved with his offense. He's obviously from, you know, the tree of what's his name in L.A. Obviously one of the smartest, McVay. So he's worked under McVay. That offense in Minnesota is very much like Adam Gase coaching in the way offense is going. But it's a very smart offense. It's a good place to learn. He's gonna have a year under his belt. If you could figure out a way to get J.J. McCarthy, I could be sold on it, but I can't give up the fourth overall pick, or I can't give up a lot on a young kid who they passed on drafting at six last year. And now has now had two knee surgeries. So, like, do they try and find a veteran? Are they going to bring Kirk Cousins in here for a year? That's not their guy either. Like, they need their young answer to the quarterback position. Plain and simple. It doesn't have to be a draft pick this year. It could be somewhat of a younger piece some other way. I don't know how. But it's got to be someone who comes in here and has the next 2 or 3 years to be Brian Daboll's guy. And to me, the easiest path when you're drafting fourth is they're going to have to give up a package to New England, because you would imagine New England is not going to draft a quarterback. New England and Tennessee and Cleveland are probably going to take the quarterback. Cleveland just restructured the contract with Watson. So his cap hit's not going to be as bad moving forward, but they're going to look to get a young quarterback in here, I would think. So, especially at the top of this draft. So, you can't be behind Cleveland and Tennessee and expect to get one of these two quarterbacks. It's not going to happen. So, can you trade up to New England? And from 4 to 1, what do you have to give up to do that? Because I think New England would trade down. Because I think they understand if they're moving up, it's to take a quarterback. Now, if they move down to 4, you're right, they'd lose on Hunter. I don't know if they'd be into that. So, I don't know. But there is no question. It's hard for me to justify keeping Brian Daboll and not giving him the quarterback. And if I'm Shane and Daboll, I have to get the quarterback, like, even selfishly. And I know this is where it becomes a slippery slope, because I don't want GMs and head coaches making decisions necessarily based on what they need to keep their jobs. But for whatever reason, my desires and theirs are aligned at the moment, because I desperately think they need a quarterback, and there is only way to secure their jobs. Like, if they don't draft a quarterback this year and next year is a losing season, you move on. Like, how many years can you do it? Right now, with the top pick or top four pick, you have to get a quarterback in here. Have to. Walter in Oceanport. What's up, Walter?
I'm miserable. This has been a horrible Christmas.
Yep.
I've gotten two big rocks of coal in my sports stocking,
mm-hmm,
between Juan Soto, like, blowing out of here, and now I was, you know, all we had to do was lose two games, okay? And we can't do that. We can't lose the last two games. I mean, we were dead 8 weeks ago. We were dead.
Yep.
Okay. And I think Shane and Dable are going to be here. We'll have a new president 4 years from now, but they'll still be with the Giants. The news got worse. I just found out because at 4 o'clock, I was like, okay, we slipped to number 3 in the draft, mm-hmm. thinking, okay, we're going to get Travis Hunter. And no, now you're saying that we're the Giants.
Yeah,
are down
Cleveland.
To 4.
Cleveland lost to Miami. Cleveland is ahead of them. So right now, the Giants have the 4th pick.
But here's the thing that blows my mind. Okay, mm-hmm. I mean the Jets. Okay, in the whole tenure that Daniel Jones was with the Giants, they had 2 number 1 picks. Okay, between Sam Darnold and. Zach Wilson.
Yeah, well, technically, number three and a number two pick.
Okay, number three and number two. Okay, yeah. But they were higher. Okay, and then on top of it, they get an all-time Hall of Famer. I mean, we could have. I mean, like the Giants could have done something. We could have gotten Baker Mayfield. I mean, talk about a guy who's slinging it and who's a grinder and gritty. I mean, there's a lot of other guys out there. Now Sam Darnold is going to sign for $50-60 million guaranteed next year. Mm-hmm. I mean, and the Giants are in a total debacle. I mean, this is horrific. It's absolutely horrific.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I agree with you. I mean, we've done all this losing, and this is the time they decide to play this game. This is the time they decide to, like, where was this all year? We went through all that losing to only now come up short. They're drafting. And not only that, if they win next week, because I believe Philadelphia is locked into the 2, like if they have nothing to play for and they win next week against the Eagles, assuming all the other, like they would fall to, I mean, the Raiders have the only team that has, the only 4-win team currently that has a better strength of schedule is the Bears. And they're drafting 9th. So theoretically, if they win next week, there's a chance that they're drafting 9th. That's it. Then you put an end to it. Now they're not drafting a quarterback. Forget it. You can't trade up to 1 from 9. Can't happen. Giants need to lose next week. Plain and simple, they need to lose again next week. These wins are meaningless. Oh, you want to beat the Eagles? Why? While they're resting everybody? Like, stop it. It just sucks, man. Eddie in White Plains. What's up, Eddie?
Oh, that would be typical Giants. They beat the Eagles. Mara thinks that to turn the corner, everyone comes back. You know, the GM is desperate for that quarterback. He trades a 2026 number 1 overall pick to go up and get these quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You trust this GM? Being this desperate to get a quarterback, to having to move up and knowing that they need a quarterback and trade future draft assets, mm-hmm. like a possible 26 number one overall.
No, I mean, I see the problem with it. I mean, I see what you're saying. If they are desperate to get a quarterback, and now he has to do it, and he's going to give up draft picks that theoretically I would think he'd be given the next 2-3 years easy. So I don't think they're going to want draft picks later than that, so he's going to have to live with it. It's not like he's giving it to another regime. Because if you draft the quarterback, they're going to keep him for 2 or 3 years. He signed a 5-year deal, so he's under contract for another 2 seasons. So if they keep him and he drafts a quarterback, he's here for the next 2 years. So it's not like he's leaving those picks for another GM. That would be worse. But I hear what you're saying. It's going to be tough to not feel like he would give more than he normally would, but, I mean, that's the job of a GM. But, yeah, I agree with you. He's going to be desperate for a quarterback. He's going to be desperate for a quarterback, and another regime would not be. If they fired Shane and Dable and brought in another coach and GM, they would not feel as obligated to make the move and trade up and get a quarterback. They could move the pick back. They could take the best player available. They can do a lot of different things where I agree with you. Shane and Dable have no choice. They have to draft a quarterback.
And then I'll end up setting the franchise back how much longer if they end up missing on the next guy.
I know, but what if they're right?
Then they're right?
Then it won't matter. How fast will the turnaround be?
Oh, it'll be great to have the season not over by the last Sunday of September.
I completely agree. That would be really nice, wouldn't it, Eddie? That'd be really nice. That would be really nice. And that's what this whole thing comes down to for me. It's not about yesterday. It's about what I went through all year long and what yesterday changed. That's what it is. It's not... people are confused that I'm mad. I walked in here and Rosenberg's like, well, I don't understand, Chris. Who are you mad at exactly? Are you mad at, you know, Malik Nabers for making, you know, two great plays and scoring touchdowns? Are you mad at, you know, Tracy for running hard? Are you running mad for the defense turning the ball over? Like, who are you mad at, Chris? And I'm like, who am I mad at? I'm mad at the stinking team. I'm mad at the New York Giants for putting me through this crap. They lost 10 games in a row. We went through this miserable season. It's the 100th year anniversary, and we've been debating whether or not it's the worst year in the last 100. I had to go through all of this. There was a light at the end of the tunnel. The top pick. That was it. That was the light at the end of the tunnel. Drafting a quarterback and feeling like, okay, we'll start this rebuild with a new young quarterback who has a chance to be the next generational star of this team. Like, that's what we were looking at. Now I don't know what we're looking at. Now we're looking at, to his point, which is a great point by Eddie, now we're looking at a GM forced and everybody knowing he's forced to have to trade up and trade away draft picks to get that quarterback. Something that we had for free could cost us theoretically 2 first-round picks. Something we had for free before this game. That's what bothers me. That's what I'm mad at. Let's go to Neil in Connecticut. What's up, Neil? Hey, Neil, you there? Neil. Sorry, buddy. Elliot in the Bronx. What's up, Elliot?
McAdoo, Neil went to the Richard from Manhattan School of answering the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, there ain't no guarantee that the one you draft is going to turn out. Now, first of all, let me just tell the audience, I am speaking to the sports radio host of the year for 2024. Congratulations, Mr. Chris McMonagle.
Oh, thank you very much.
Oh, definitely. That night you called the biggest event of the year. I mean, how do you do that? I don't know, but you did it. But anyway, mm-hmm. The thing is, the quarterback class of 18 has come of age this year, except for one quarterback. And I don't care, you know, Woody Allen could have been the quarterback coach up in Buffalo, or Josh would have been Josh. I mean, look what they did to the Jets today. They virtually flattened the Jets today. And I keep hearing people, the Jets have a good offense. They got good offensive plays. It is a weird type of offense they have. Guys have numbers. They still can't score. They can't put the puck in the net for some reason. But the thing is, I'm just wondering about the Giants. I mean, I'll just throw a little tidbit out there. The Giants in the last 70 years have only drafted two good quarterbacks, and that was Phil Simms and Eli. Outside, they didn't even draft Eli. They drafted what's-his-face, Rivers, and then Rivers. They made a swap. Because they still was a draft day thing.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it this way. I mean, you're right. You know what? You have a lot of 3- and 4-win teams in this league. That means you have a lot of bad teams in there. And you correctly stated if they win next week, they could fall into the middle of the draft.
Yep.
The way things are going, this is what I say, and I've said it quite a few times now. The last position in all the sports where you actually need a brain to play that position is the offensive line. I think if they fall into 8 and 9, I'm a believer in taking the best available player. But if it's an offensive lineman who's a beast in the first round, I would take a first round and a second round offensive lineman. I bring in Kirk Cousins. I just roll the dice and just let Lady Luck roll itself.
Yeah, I mean, I again with the offensive line. I know. Everyone wants to draft the offensive line. I get
it. Stop it with the offensive line.
I mean, it is. It's tiresome. Listen, if they're drafting 8th or 9th, you pick the best available player. They have enough holes. I don't care about the. I mean, yeah, the offensive line would be great. If there's an offensive lineman there who grades out as an 8th or 9th pick, take him. I don't care. But at that point, I would just draft. They have so many freaking holes you could draft whatever. There's literally not a position you can't draft 8, 9. Shut down corner. Edge rusher. defensive run stopper, a safety, offensive line, wide receiver, like literally anything. It doesn't matter. Anything but a running back. But, I mean, you want to bring Kirk Cousins in here? How much money? I don't know. For a veteran for 1 year, listen, if you want to draft a quarterback, that's a bit of a project, and then it doesn't even matter. It's just so it's so frustrating. They are so screwed, man. It's just unbelievable. If they win this game and they're drafting eighth or ninth, forget it, man. Forget it. Honestly.
At that point, you're looking at Justin Fields, Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson, who will probably be cut.
Yeah. I'm not bringing Deshaun Watson in here.
Well, he'd cost like $1 million.
Yeah, and still, I don't care. Can't have Deshaun Watson in here. But yeah, that's what you're looking at. Russell Wilson, you're looking at some sort of stopgap quarterback who might play well enough to win some games, and then what? Like, it's just, they have to draft a quarterback. Eddie in Rockland, what's up, Eddie?
Hey, Chris, what's happening, man? You're bringing down my, for the holidays, man.
Well, it's miserable. Yesterday was
miserable.
Let me
ask you questions. You want Barkley to go into the Hall of Fame as a Giant or a Philadelphia Eagle when he breaks the rushing record this next weekend?
Yeah, I really don't care.
Against the Giants.
Let him go in as an Eagle.
You know. Because you know what? When that happens, you know, really, Mara's just going to get up, walk out. And
I don't think so. Who gives a damn?
But let me ask you a couple of questions, because you're all over the place of what they're going to do and this and that.
Well, I'm talking different possibilities. I don't know what they're going
to
do.
No. But what you're saying is, if they go for a quarterback, they need to keep Dable because he's the quarterback guy and he's all this. Really, there's only two guys, really, if you're in the top five.
Yes.
And you don't need to be a rocket scientist to pick one of them because they have them rated high. It's like picking the best offensive line guy.
Well, I mean,
so what do you what? Why do you need Dable to make that pick for you? Tell me that.
Well, you mean Dable or Shane?
Go in the top five anyway.
Yeah, you mean Shane?
Why do you need Dable? Shane, Dable, but they're tied together.
I think so. Reports are they might not
Shane's
be,
not
but
the
yes.
Quarterback whisperer. Dable is. He's the whisperer.
Right.
I haven't seen any whispering being done in 4 years.
Well, he just got Drew Locke to throw four touchdown passes, and he took Daniel Jones, who stinks on ice.
Let's sign him for.
No, I don't want to. He stinks. No,
million,
well, that's ridiculous. But no, I don't want to. I want the young quarterback that you don't have to sign for the next 5 years. And why do I want? First of all,
but Chris, let me ask you some questions.
You just did. I'd like to answer some of them, though, Eddie.
You get me to Brett level sometimes. You get me to Brett level sometimes. And what I don't understand is you got so much hope in Dable with his vision, but he was in position last year.
Yes.
He let quarterback scoot by.
Correct.
He made the deal to keep Daniel Jones. He didn't develop anybody.
He didn't even develop
an offensive scheme yet.
All right, well, first
and you
of all,
want to think that he's got all this power that's going to all of a sudden appear out of nowhere.
Well, you're the one giving him power. You're talking about who he's drafted. He's not the GM. He's the coach. I mean, he hasn't drafted. He has some say. He can't tell them who to draft. No, he can't tell Brian Dable. He can't tell Joe Shane who to draft. No, he has a discussion in it. He's asked questions and he answers them, like you saw in the Hard Knocks. Would you trade up for Jalen? Have you seen enough to trade up for Jalen Daniels? Yes, I absolutely would. I would trade up for Daniel. That's it. What is he supposed to say? No, I need a quarterback. Daniel Jones sucks. Like.
What? Just tell me one thing on this offense that's gotten better since they've been here.
Well, nothing, I suppose. Yeah, I mean, I guess. Well, because the quarterback play sucks. He took a team, when he got here, they went to the playoffs. How'd they do the years before he got here?
They're not going to take a quarterback.
He took the team to the playoffs. Do you want to acknowledge that, though? Do you want to acknowledge that he took a team that won four games, and five games the 3 years before and took them and won a road playoff game with them? Do you want to acknowledge that?
I'm just waiting to see this magic.
I'm just saying, can you acknowledge that? I just gave you the magic. He took a four-win, five-win team to the playoffs. That was his magic.
And listen. And when you get ready for a Giant football on the weekend, do you put some outfits on, your hats and the shirt on, and you hope that they lose?
I only have the hoodie. I don't really have a shirt or a hat. But I hope they lose yesterday, that's for sure. And I hope they lose next week, that's for sure. And I hope they draft a quarterback so I don't have to hope for losses anymore. You want to sit around and root for victories? Good luck. Great. I hope you enjoyed yesterday. I hope that was a really good win for you. I hope 3-13 sounds really great to you. I hope that's very exciting. 3-13. Woo! So much better than 2-14. I can't tell you the difference. Man, the difference between 2-14 and 3-13, wow. They are worlds apart. Can you imagine right now if we were sitting here with the Giants at 2-14 as opposed to 3-13? Man, oh man. You think it's rough today. Imagine if they were 2-14. Thank God they're 3-13. That's so much. Oh man, the relief of winning that football game and not being having the distinct nature of being the 0-9 team. All, can you imagine they lost all 9 home games? Thank God they went 1-8. Man, whew, that is so much better. Isn't that so much better? They could have been the first team to ever lose 9 home games. They could have been 0-9 at home. Thank God they went 1-8. Man, thank you. Thank you so much. I feel so much better about them now. Can you imagine if I was looking at Tankathon right now and they were at the top of the draft with the first overall pick, but the record next to them said 2-14 as opposed to 3-13? It's a world apart. It's like 0-1 and 1-0, a baseball count, right? It's just world. It's a totally different at bat after the first pitch is a strike or a ball. That's the difference that 3-13 versus 2-14 is. They are worlds apart. I feel so much better that I was able to sit with my Yankee, my Giant hat and my Giant shirt and root for a Giant victory. And at least they won't go winless at home. Thank goodness. Thank goodness they're only 1-8 at home. Can you imagine if they were like the trivia question of who's the only team to go winless and 0-9 in the history of football? Can you imagine that? Oh, man, that would have been so bad. Thankfully, they're 1-8. Thankfully. I mean, that changes everything. And now they can draft an offensive lineman like everybody wants. And maybe next year, fingers crossed, they can get 4 wins. Because that's so much better than 3. So this is awesome. I'm very excited. Giants are looking up. 888-808-1019. Quick break update. Come back with your phone calls next on The Fan.